Hello and welcome to Natural Geekery, a podcast focusing on gaming, storytelling, creativity, and how it intertwines and creates a wonderful community. This is episode 12. I'm Brian. Welcome aboard. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 12. I am super excited to be here today. I'm going to cut right to the interview for the most part. As you can tell, I have a little bit of a cold still in my voice from last week, so I don't want to stretch things or push things too far. My guest this week is a fellow by the name of Tall Squall, and I was able to be introduced to him via Twitter, and he is just a remarkable individual in this gaming community, and I got a chance to meet him at Gen Con, and he agreed to an interview, and I'm just so excited to have him on the show. You can find him on Twitter, and he also runs a Twitch stream game called The Vice. You can also find him on The Doors of Dunera, which is on the Scraticus Academy. He's a character on that, and he's a co-author at Bird in the Storm Publishing. He has just a great outlook on life, full of positivity. He's also the, I believe, founder of the hashtag D&D Fitness, which we're going to talk about in this interview. So stay tuned. Get a favorite beverage, sit back, and enjoy this interview with Tall Squall. I know I did. It's a two-parter, so it's going to be a long one, but well worth it. All right, let's go to the interview. My guest today is Tall Squall, and I am looking forward to discussing all manner of geekery and gaming with him for sure. He is the co-founder of Bird in the Storm Publishing. He can be found on Twitter. He is the founder, I believe, of the hashtag D&D Fitness. We're going to talk more about that as we go along. And thanks for being here, Tall Squall. I really, really, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I'm super excited to be here, and it's great to talk about all the things that I love to talk about. So you're going to get an earful. You'll have to like let me know if I get a little bit too chatty on you.
No, as I've told some of my other interviews, if we have to make this a two-parter, so be it.
Great. I certainly will wax on and on and on and on and on about all these fun things that I am interested in. So
awesome.
I'm looking forward to chatting with you about it.
Okay. Great. So tell us a little bit about yourself. What do you do when you're not rolling dice?
When I'm not rolling dice, I am a program engineer for a large group. I keep that little bit under wraps just because of keeping my gaming life and internet life separate. But basically manage very large projects for a large corporation in the engineering realm. I'm degreed in mechanical engineering and then have been working in the engineering field for now, golly, 25 years. Went from mechanical engineering to project engineering to now managing whole programs of engineering work for the company I work for.
Wow. Yeah, lots of stuff to keep track of, I'm sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Keeping having an outlet like gaming and fitness is one of the things that keeps me sane.
I can imagine. So what got you started into gaming?
Well, gosh, I mean, gaming in general really started. I went to boarding school for high school. So and no one was allowed to have cars. It was, you pretty much even the day students. You know, you couldn't take the boarding students out in your cars except in special circumstances. And so, you know, we also couldn't have TVs. So that left you with, and back in my day, this was back in 87. So, you know, you didn't have the internet and all of the video gaming, what it was. I mean, I remember when it was a big deal when our computer lab got Macs, like the very first Macintosh computers. Yes. I mean, that was a big darn deal. Mm-hmm. Back in '87. I mean, I remember I had I had an Apple IIe, I think, at home, idea. But as far as like not computerized gaming, I mean, I played some of the really ancient games like Ultima 4 and things like that.
Zork.
But I played some Zork. I played a lot of Zork actually.
Yeah.
But Yeah, no. So we played a lot of Steve Jackson games. The game that we always loved to play was we played Illuminati, which I still would love to see them redo Illuminati, especially with just the change in political structures around the world and fun organizations that you could throw in there. You know, I was always a big fan of the Fiendish Floridators, you know, being controlled by the Boy Scouts of America, you know, funneling money into the gnomes of Zurich. That was that was like my go-to plan. But so that's really got started was with old Steve Jackson games. And then once I graduated from high school and then went to engineering school, started getting into some more D&D. Actually, I was even before engineering school. I was in a what am I going to do with my life liberal arts degree. I was ended up sort of rediscovering or discovering second edition. It was right as second edition was coming out. I actually even remember waiting for second edition. I didn't wait long though. I mean, it was all but by the time I sort of discovered or rediscovered gaming or D&D, that was right as second edition was coming out. And I remember I actually owned the old Three Ring Binder Monster Manual before I even owned the Player's Handbook, just because I thought the monsters were so cool. And so, so that was sort of where I got into it and where sort of my, you know, start in gaming happened. Probably for about a year or so playing some second edition with friends down at Emory University.
So, and you, so you also, we're going to talk more about the gaming here in a minute, but I also want to talk about, you also do cosplay.
Yes.
And you happen to be the honor of being the first cosplay guest on the show. And I wanted to kind of talk about a little bit, what got you into it? Like, what's your cosplay origin story? And for folks that maybe aren't aware of it, this, maybe you could just, you can give us a description of cosplay. What's your description of cosplay?
Yeah. So, cosplay, and you know, it's interesting because now it is sort of the go-to term for all of it. And there were, when I first was getting started, there actually was a little bit of a difference between costuming and cosplaying. You know, cosplaying was very much more focused on the anime world, anime and gaming world. Whereas costuming was still sort of more into the fandom superhero type realms. Very, very razor line thin distinction. But of course, you know, when you're in the community, it's a big, big deal. I'm I'm not a cosplayer, but today's world, it's all the same. We put on costumes, have a lot of fun. I guess really my origin story, actually believe it or not, begins with work functions. We had a big event every year called canoe races. These big canoe races that we all the different departments would compete in. And after years and years of our department not competing in them, we decided we wanted to go back and try to win back you win the paddle each year. And for years, our group had won the paddle, and then for almost a decade, we didn't compete. And so we went back and we decided, hey, you know, we might not be able to win the paddle, but we're going to go in and we're going to, because there was a thing called the spirit competition, which had been won by the same group for like the, like forever, the exact same group. We're like, you know what? We're going to go in. We're going to go in big. And our first theme, I think our first year, the theme was like pirates. It was right when the Pirates of the Caribbean movie, the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie came out. And so everyone got in costume, and, you know, and it's all about a 3 week event. So you were getting up at 5 a.m. every morning before work and getting in costume and doing it. And so that was, you know, just kind of reminded me of how much I kind of enjoyed it. And I had a great time doing it and sort of pulling things together and putting together a costume. Fast forward a couple years of doing this, we did a Mardi Gras theme, a rock and roll theme, a 70s theme, you know, your typical party theme type ideas. And it was about the time when Comic-Con was sort of really starting to hit the national stage, that people were really starting to talk about Comic-Con. And so we did a canoe races con type idea. It was, you know, canoe con type idea.
Okay.
And that was going to be the theme for the next year. And so I was like, well, I kind of need to know what this is all about. So let me look and even see if there's one of these conventions close by. I mean, I knew that there were some around, but I hadn't really gone to them. And lo and behold, literally like 2 weekends or 3 weekends away, there was going to be a true cosplay con. It was an anime convention here at one of the hotels in town. And I'm like, I should go check this out, but I need a costume. And so, you know, I start just kind of looking through, okay, what can I buy? What do I have? I picked up a pair of these black leather pants, like that were on sale at like Wilson's Leather for my pirate costume. So I was like, well, who in the anime world wears black leather pants? Which is pretty much everyone. But, right. Turns out, you know, I start flipping through and I see this picture of, Squall Leonhardt from Final Fantasy VIII.
Okay.
And I'm like, okay, that's it. It's like, it's a white t-shirt. I bet I can buy that medallion. Went, you know, Google search real quick. Okay, I can buy that little medallion type idea. Yeah. And, you know, I was like, wig, I'll come up with something. And it was like, okay, the jacket. I got to see if I can find, you know, something. There's got to be something I can do to mimic this jacket. Lo and behold, I hop on to Google, of course, as you do.
Right, as you do.
As you do. And lo and behold, someone was like having a clearance. Some, you know, like fantasy jackets store in Canada was having a clearance on their Squall Leonhardt jacket. And the only thing I had left was like an extra large, which is, of course, what I needed.
Right, of course.
And so I was like, well, guess we're doing this. Next up, I need to make this gunblade thing. And I had done prop work back in college and in high school because I worked in theater, you know, the technical side of theater, stage management, prop management, all that type of stuff. Never had graced the stage like once, but I'm terrible with lines. So I was like, you know, I haven't built a prop in a while, but I know how. I was like, I know how I can, you know, just take literally, you know, take of all things, because I was doing the thing, literally standing here right beside me.
You know, right just, there next to you.
Yeah, right next to me. Take, you know, plywood, basically build it up. You know, needed to, you know, read all the rules about con safety, that it couldn't be sharp or hard, or, you know, that you could beat someone with it.
Right.
And, you know, use pool noodles and, you know, other, literally, you know, did what all good cosplayers do, run to Home Depot. So you can find. Right. And over the next, you know, couple weekends, built up this, you know, what we would consider these days closet cosplay.
Uh-huh.
And, went to the convention and didn't know what to expect, was nervous as heck, but was just like, okay, I put this together. It looks pretty good. Let me just go see what this is about. I walk in the door and it's just like, everyone wants a photograph. They want to talk to me. They want to this, you know, you know, there was tables there and got pulled over. What was really cool, got pulled over a table who was like, hey, we do charity work also. If, you know, do you want to join our newsletter, right. You know, get our group so we can contact you. Cause you know, it's not so much what character you are. It's that you're a character,
right?
Not like, right. Well, sure. Of course. You know, let me figure this out. And, that was sort of where it started. And in fact, that's where my name comes from, because there was another Squall at that convention and people were trying to figure out how to tag, and no one knew who I was. I wasn't in the cosplay scene. In any of the websites where my picture would show up, I didn't even have a username, and everyone was like, oh no, that's the tall Squall as compared to the short Squall. And so literally where tall Squall comes from is because I was the tall Squall at my first convention.
That's great. Now, is somebody walking around with short Squall?
Because he was known, and you know, actually, I went on to become friends with him later on. You know, again, had, you know, because again, he was sort of established in the cosplay community. But so for that's where Tall Squall came from. And then
that's great.
When with the charity group, started doing superhero costumes, and then that's where I really got, you know, doing charity and doing superhero costumes was where it really took off for me, and where that whole world of cosplay sort of opened up to me. And I think a piece of it is, we, you know, I had stopped gaming for, gosh, almost 2 decades. good 15 years or so while I was doing my engineering degree and my career and all that type of stuff.
Sure.
Yeah. And I think there was a place in me looking to start storytelling again. And I think that that just happened to be what fell into my lap as another way to sort of scratch that creative and storytelling itch a little bit.
Sure. Sure. And I love the idea of doing cosplay for charity. That's one mm-hmm. thing that I'm starting to look into myself, just because what better way to have fun and do good work at the same time? It sounds great. The other thing I wanted to ask, I think you were telling about the jacket, about how it always works out. I've talked to so many cosplayers who, once you get it in your mind what you want, mm-hmm. it's fascinating to me how quickly things can come together out of nowhere.
Well,
it's, and not really a question, I guess, but I just a commentary on that. I just think I'm fascinated by it because I hear it a lot.
Well, I can tell you my crazier one for that.
Please do.
Was actually putting together what I kind of got suddenly known for a little bit in the critter community. Not even though it's not a critter costume, was my first Gen Con. Literally, Gen Con started. I flew up to Gen Con on Wednesday, or Thursday of Gen Con.
Okay.
The Tuesday prior, the summer skins were released for Overwatch, and they had the summer skin for McCree, and I knew one of my big things is I wanted to meet Matt Mercer and that type of thing. And mm-hmm. I was still very much 1 foot deep into the cosplay community. And when you go meet a famous person you want to meet, you cosplay as one of their characters. And, it was kind of like trying to put together something from either Vox Machina at that point. Just was, again, not something that even crossed my mind. But then suddenly I'm like, hey, I've got abs, and he's a lifeguard. I used to be a lifeguard. I can pull this together. And mm-hmm. so literally in less than 6 days, now, thank goodness for Amazon Prime, and thank goodness it was literally a lifeguard. But pulled that together. The hardest part was the sombrero. Or the big hat, and luckily I'm in Florida, so that wasn't even that bad.
Right, that is great. That is great. Did he like it?
Oh yeah, I got literally a shout out as I was going up like into the bleachers to get ready for their signing. So because I didn't correctly figure out my times, or that people would line up so early for events, I was planning. It was about 2 hours before the event. Before the signing, and I was like, I'm going to go walk around for about 45 minutes, go back to my room, and then go get myself to the event. And I walk by where the event's going to be, and literally the line's already wrapped, around the stadium. And I'm like, okay, I got to get in this line right now. So I ended up, shirtless, wearing a towel and swim trunks, ended up going to the Matt Mercer. That was for the entire cast, because I wanted to meet Matt in it just sort of, one on one, but not necessarily to be there when I'm getting my book signed. So I met the Critical Role cast swim shorts and a towel.
Memorable for everybody.
But I said, I got a shout out from Matt as I was going up the stairs, and he gave me it's high tide, and I'm like, I feel your pain. I get it now, because everyone was doing it to me.
Oh, I bet. I bet you heard it constantly. Just real quick, what cosplay is your happiest? What's the one you're most happiest with, at least right now?
I really kind of have hung up the cape. But certainly the one that was a sort of bucket list item for me was my Vision cosplay, Cinematic Universe Vision cosplay, which was a bucket list because I'd never done a true full movie makeup. I mean, that was 4 hours in a makeup chair, just like you would do in the movies. Interesting anecdote. The guy who did my Vision makeup went on to go do the actual movie makeup for Infinity War and Endgame.
Oh wow!
Actually, on Paul Bettany.
Oh man!
But yeah, no, that, so that was a bucket list to actually put together a true movie level makeup. When even in the movie, it was done with CGI. I
mean, right. Right.
You know, so yeah. That was fun just to experience and to commission something like that. I don't have the skill to do that level of work. But the one that I probably have the most fun with, or that, you know, it would be a tie between my superhero and my Captain America. I love my cinematic Cap costume, just because, you know, I do believe that that cinematic Cap sort of became the new Superman for this generation. I know I used to react to seeing Superman, so many kids and people act to seeing, you know, that cinematic Captain America now. Yeah. So that was very sort of, I did a lot of charity work as Superman and then did it as Captain America. And so those two, just because you can see and sort of pass along that good message of sort of hope and goodness and that there's still good in the world. And try to embody that. I was actually quite honored during the celebration of Cap's 50th birthday. Marvel.com did 50 days of cosplayers, of people who cosplay it, and I was the first day.
Oh, wow. I did not know that. Yeah. That
was a huge honor that the day one was my Cap costume and sort of what Cap meant to me.
Wow. Wow. What, that is an honor. That's great. So on to charity, you have a Twitch channel and you run that for 100% of that is devoted to charity, correct?
Yes.
That's now, and you run a D&D game called The Vice.
Yep.
And now I just wanted to talk about that a little bit, and I'll make sure the links are down in the show notes for folks to come check this out. Any proceeds you get from the Twitch stream, those go directly into a charity. So what was your inspiration for this? Like, how did that come about?
Well, I think it actually was as I was sort of hanging up my cape, so to speak. I mean, I recognize that I have begun to age out of being Superman and being Captain America. I can still get away with a cowl. I can still do a good Batman because I've got the jaw for it. But the reality is that, you know, they are younger heroes now. Even before the reboot of Captain Marvel, and I should say Shazam, so all of that confusion, but Shazam. but before the reboot of Shazam, I still felt pretty comfortable in a non-masked character to do Shazam, because he was always meant to be sort of more middle-aged looking superhero. And of course there's Kingdom Come Superman that you can do and all that type of stuff, but a lot of those distinctions are lost on kids. And so I kind of aged out, decided to hang up my cape, but I still, you know, really wanted to, I got so much fulfillment from the charity side of my hobby. I wanted to somehow incorporate that. And I also wanted to incorporate, one of the things I really enjoyed that got me back into D&D and got me into watching stream D&D is that interaction with the chat, that you feel like you're a part of the story, that you can be really connected in a substantial way. Yeah. And I'd seen people try to do it with just, hey, throw your suggestions in chat and whatever. And the problem is you just get swamped.
Yeah,
and so there kind of does need to be a little bit of a threshold for a valve somewhat of, so you don't just get inundated with people's ideas or what they want to see happen in your campaign as you're trying to run a story and have notes and things that you want to accomplish as well. And so as it had been done up to that point was usually through donations to support the channel. I'm like, well, that's not something I really need or want. And so it just made this most sense to me. It's like, well, hey, why don't we just do this, that it's going to support whatever charity we want to do. Yeah, and so I talked it over with the cast and they all loved the idea. And so, you know, there was a little bit of the, okay, so what charity? And then it was like, well, why don't we change the charities each month and we'll just decide. And there's a little bit of the, well, which one's next? And so finally what we did for our first year or so, we had a list and we rolled a D20.
Yeah.
We rolled a D20, you rolled a die to see what the next charity of the month was going to be, that they were all charities that meant something to us. Mm-hmm. And so we put them on a list and we rolled for it.
Yeah.
Because that's what you do.
That's what you do. That's the best way to handle anything, right? Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, so now here we are. We're coming up on our 3-year anniversary. We've had 112 sessions and raised, I haven't done the tally recently. We crossed 15,000 back around episode 99, 100, I believe. So we're closing in probably on about $16,000, maybe a little bit more. As we've been this summer, we've had a lot of canceled shows, unfortunately, just because of everyone's schedule. But usually, fall and winter, things will get more regular. I think everyone sort of, things calm down for everyone, even viewers, so that we should be back up and you'll be seeing us not having these 1 and 2 week breaks every couple of weeks. So.
Sure, sure. Oh, that's fantastic. I just absolutely love the idea. And just working with charity, the combination of gaming. I do Extra Life.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I try and do that every year when I can. And that was my first foray into it. And seeing what you're doing on Twitch, I'm just, I'm in love. It's so cool. It's so cool.
It has been amazing just to see the response that we get, and especially with the sort of diversity of charities we've done over the years. I think, for right now, we keep coming back to one of our favorites, which is Mental Health America. They are an amazing organization. And I really, really resonate with their message of for people to treat mental health in the same way we treat physical health. That, we do preventative care. We do self-check. We do all these things, your monthly breast exam. You're checking out, especially for us here in Florida. You check for your moles. You do all that type of thing. You need to be doing those check-ins with your mental health as well. Am I depressed? Am I feeling differently? Is there something that's really gnawing on my subconscious? Am I sleeping well? Am I, and they have all these free tools right there on their site for you to be able to go and use just to sort of assess yourself.
Right.
And, their big thing is, it's their hashtag before stage four. And just like you don't wait till you have stage four cancer, you shouldn't wait, till you've got a real crisis happening in your mental health wellness before you start seeking help.
Yeah, I will make sure to put that link down in the show notes as well. Yeah, absolutely. That is a message I can get behind 100%. I've been looking forward to this interview because following you on Twitter, seeing your interactions, you focus quite a bit on positivity. And positive vibes. And I try and do that as well. But in that, were you always this positive? Were you like this as a kid? Was it something, for me, I know for myself, it's been very learned. There's things where you wish you had gotten that wisdom about 20 years ago. But,
oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I was just curious, is this something you had carried with you for a while or is more learned?
I'd say my young life, I was very positive. Certainly I went through, as a lot of people do, I went through some depressive states, went through some of my own, sort of mental health, journeys, along the way. And I think mainly a lot of it is, from experience, learning from experience that, too many times when I found I've always been sort of a sensitive person. If anyone's watched The Vice, they know that I get choked up and teared up just as often as the players do, sometimes more often. I had to stop the rule of you get 100 XP if you make the DM cry, because they were just like leveling up every week.
They took it to heart.
They took it to heart. There was a time where I sort of walled myself off and didn't let myself feel those things for decades, literally, that I had sort of walled myself off. During that time, I did start realizing that often far too often than I like to admit I had to learn the lesson that the negativity you sent out in the world does come back to you.
Yeah, it's a tough one to learn.
And so I just tried to stop doing it. And that's a tough, it's easy to say, but tough to do. And I think that's probably the biggest thing. I also would say there was a lot of things that sort of opened me up to that. We're going to talk about fitness here in a little bit. I suffered body dysmorphia for a very long time. I was finding my own sexual identity of being asexual for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of things that I had to sort of mentally, again, back to Mental Health America, I had to sort of get worked out in my brain.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of anger that I was holding about those things. And so as you do, you'll lash out. And as more of those pieces sort of fell into place and I started understanding more about them and more about myself, I was able to sort of reopen that empathy that I have for others. And I would also say some of that came from rediscovering storytelling and rediscovering, I will say flat out, Dungeons and Dragons and role-playing really helped with that. A lot of it, that door had started to crack open with the cosplay and working with charity, and just there's a whole lot you can learn from a child who's going through the unthinkable in terms of health. Or even one of the great charities I worked with actually would focus on the siblings of the children. So there's so many charities out there, Make-A-Wish, all mm-hmm. of those types of things for the child who is sick. Oftentimes, their siblings all become overshadowed, not only by the sickness, but by also the things that are focused on that child. And it was very enlightening to go into events that were for or included or were just as focused on the siblings of these children and the lessons that they can teach you about, what it's like to have to have a brother or sister that you love and you care for and you hate that they're sick, but are getting everything and you feel like you're getting nothing. Mm-hmm. And it was, it reminds you that everyone's journey is important. Everyone's journey needs to be viewed as an individual and not in comparison necessarily to anyone else's. And I think that is what really helped me become more positive myself, because, you do have a lot of ways that you sort of get caught up in the, especially in social media and everything else, of comparing yourself to others or your problems to other people's, or why should I feel bad when that person has it so much worse? And it helps give you that perspective that, in role playing and storytelling, everyone has their own story and everyone's story valid. And while it might not be the most heroic of heroics or the most tragic of tragedies, it is still their story and it's what they're living. And it's what you need to recognize and respect and validate.
And that's going to be our show for this week. Tune in next week for the second part of this interview with Tall Squall. I hope all of you enjoyed this interview. Can you see why I was excited to introduce all of you to Tall Squall? He's such a great guy, and I just really appreciate him being on the show. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns about the show or the interview, or you'd like to be interviewed yourself, feel free to contact me at naturalgeekery@gmail.com. You can also find me on Twitter at naturalgeekery or at coyoteguy, and I am there and I will answer any and all questions you have. And yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. If you like this show, please, please feel free to share this show out to other people. Talk it up. It'll just help the show, and it'll help me get the word out about all of this, about creativity and storytelling and how we're all working together to create this community. Once again, as I close out, I just want to reiterate how much I mean every one of these words. I close every show with this statement, or some form of it. It's very important to me, and it's a message I want to get out to all of you. Remember, you're needed out here. Your story could inspire someone. It could help someone. Live your life as best as you can. Make a plan, roll some dice, and go tell your story. All right, everybody, I will see you on the next one. Bye-bye.